Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with a program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Today we hear about a special movie from Syria. It lets average citizens speak about their lives and their problems of living in a war-torn country. Then, news about a political study in the United States. How do we select our leaders? The answer may surprise you. If you are ready, let's get started with part one. Syrian filmmakers have been attending film festivals in Europe. Recently, the filmmakers attended the showing of a film called Our Terrible Country. The movie explores two men and their friendship at a time of kidnappings, war, and exile. The producers say Syrian films turn up the voices of the real Syrian people, who, after years of suffering, refuse to accept tyranny. Christopher Cruz reports.
In this documentary, a young man named Ziad laughs with his white-haired friend Yasin. They are in Turkey. They fled Syria after Ziad was captured and tortured by Islamic State militants. Yasin is in exile, fearing both Islamic State forces and the Syrian government. Ali Atassi directed Our Terrible Country. He says the movie is not about the past, but what happened as they were producing the documentary.
I didn't stop shooting when Ziad was arrested by the Islamic State. I continue with Yasin, and when he was released later, we continue, he came back to join us in Istanbul, and there the film took end.
While imprisoned, Ziad wondered if people like him and his friends are to blame for the Syrian conflict. They once dreamed of overthrowing the government of President Bashar al-Assad with peaceful protests. But nearly 200,000 people have died in the fighting. Ali Atassi says the film asks more questions than it answers. But he thinks the voices of secular activists are necessary for rebuilding Syria after the war ends. Those voices, he adds, are often marginalized by the media. He says the media like to describe Syrians as Islamist extremists, rebels, or supporters of the Assad government.
We fight from the beginning and we continue in our way, and we belong to the society. I don't think that the Islamists or the Assad belong to the future of Syria. The media don't want to see us, but we are here.
Ali Atassi says Syrians inside the country need to hear moderate voices.
But if you look to the role that the culture in general, but also the cinema and the short movie can play in this struggle, I think it's a major role. It's not about arm and army and invasion and that we can deal with the Islamists only, but it's also it's a cultural struggle. It's about some value. It's about what the idea of the future Syria.
The Syrian aid group Bidayat produced Our Terrible Country. It is just one of a number of documentaries made in and around Syria. One of them is called Being Good So Far, Part 2. In this new short film, boys sing about freedom as they ride on the back of a truck in the city of Aleppo. In the song, Mr. Assad is not even human, and the supposed moderate rebels are rats that flee when they are bombed. The general coordinator of Bidayat, Christian Lutich, says it is this kind of complexity that gets lost in news reportings. The films have subtitles in English. Bidayat's website is in both Arabic and English. Christian Lutich says one filmmaker has been killed since the group started supporting artists last year. In addition, Islamic State militants are holding other people involved with the project as hostages. Despite the continued horror, she says, filmmakers give her hope that one day there will be a peaceful Syria.
And all the people I meet through the work we are doing in the last 3 years really give me a lot of hope, because I see how much they are willing to contribute to the development of their country, how much they are willing to defend the values that they have in mind.
Kristen Lutich adds one of those values is the dream of a Syrian democracy that includes all the people, without dictators and violent extremists. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to The Voice of America. We are coming to you from Washington. Americans voted in congressional and local elections earlier this month. Some observers say the Republican Party's success in the elections shows voters were looking for change. But new research suggests the success of winning candidates may have something to do with how they look. Ann Ball has more on the study.
There is a lot of evidence that voters like good-looking candidates. Many Americans still talk about the presidential election of 1960. The main candidates, John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon, appeared on television in a series of political debates. Some people believe Kennedy won the election because he appeared youthful and more energetic than Nixon. In a new study, researchers explored whether people are more likely to vote for candidates who seem intelligent or ones who look healthy. To find out, the researchers used a computer program to make small changes to photographs of a group of men. They made each face look healthier by making small improvements to the men's skin tone. They made the faces look more intelligent by making them appear more masculine. Then the researchers showed the photos to 148 other people. They asked these men and women to choose the new head of a company just from looking at the pictures. 69% of the time, participants chose the person who looked healthier. Brian Spishak is a business and economics professor at VU University in the Netherlands. He said the participants thought healthy-looking candidates seemed more trustworthy, likable, ambitious, and more like leaders. The researchers told the group the new business leader would have a very challenging job. They said he would have to lead the company in a competitive